I think a lot of people are history buffs, and some, like me, are fascinated by the Civil War. Others are drawn to other times and places. Those big stories of where you come from are interesting, but nothing is quite as intriguing as putting together the pieces of your own family's unique history. Lori Bessler can help us with that. She's a reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches genealogy workshops to help folks piece together their family histories. And Lori, great to have you join us today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, what motivates people, really, to look at their family history?
I think, you know, as a child, you hear a lot of stories, and depending on how many stories your parents tell you, that's kind of why I got into it, is my dad was a storyteller. And other people look at some missing links in their family. They are trying to find out whatever happened to somebody in the family, so that gets them started. Some people are looking at their medical history. Just the basis of that is really key. Some are interested in the science of it with DNA, and so there's a lot of reasons.
A whole lot of reasons. And we've got any more, I think we have so many resources available to us that we didn't have 20 years ago or 25 years ago.
I started almost 40 years ago researching my own family. I started kind of young.
Mm-hmm.
And so the world has changed tremendously from that time period. We used to have to really depend a lot more on microfilm and so on. But there's still such a mix of what you find online and what you find in the archives and the libraries around the world. And so it's not one place to go anymore, thank goodness, because you want that journey.
Sure, absolutely. You may have a question for Lori as we move along today. Do you feel like you know as much of your family history as you'd like or wish to? Or maybe you have some questions about how to go further than you have already, perhaps? Or maybe just a kind of a fun story to tell about your family tree. My family tree, we have a lot of ministers and a lot of really big families. And a lot of crooks, too.
That's quite a mix.
Yeah, there were ministers, many ministers, and quite a few people who did time. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of families of 10, 12, 14 kids.
Yeah, that's the case on my mom's side, but my dad's side, not so many large families. It's interesting how it blends.
Anyway, let me give you the number. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Let's take a look at the internet for a minute. What are the best? Are there some paid-for sites, and what about free sites that are available online that you like to go to?
Well, they all have their own separate purposes, but the two biggest ones, Ancestry, of course, most people, I think, have heard of that. What they may not know about Ancestry, it is a pay-for site, fee-based site, but they do have what's called a library edition. And a lot of public libraries around the country have that accessible for people to use at their library.
Oh.
That has a lot of the first kinds of records you start with, the censuses, the passenger lists, some naturalization information, and so and then also some access to family trees that people have posted on Ancestry. Family Search is the other big site, and that has a lot of free access to digital collections and databases. It always just depends on what specifically you're looking for. That's the key. It's also that they don't, between the two sites, they don't have it all. And then you have some sites also called Find My Past, MyHeritage, Genie.com. There's a lot of places. Then you have sites that have to do, they're based out of organizations like our site, WisconsinHistory.org, where we have indexes to pre-1907 Wisconsin birth, marriage, and death records, different databases that include, you know, biographical sketches of people, and different resources. And then, of course, you have materials that are not online. But you have catalogs on places like our site that tell you exactly what do we have in our stacks and in our archives and all of that.
We just finished talking about the Civil War, and if people have questions about relatives from the Civil War, where do you recommend they go?
I think you start with your home state. So if they're in Wisconsin, you would start with us at WisconsinHistory.org. You can email us, asklibrary@WisconsinHistory.org, or you can phone us, 608-264-264. 6535 is our reference desk number. Often people will email, and then it turns into a phone consultation with me because I often need to know what have you found out already before we go farther. There's unit histories that we have. There's actual muster rolls that we have. There are other types of original records that we have there here in Madison. And then you have the national level. You have pension records at the National Archives, service records at the National Archives. That's the kind of information we can help each person with individually.
That's really wonderful. And WisconsinHistory.org/genealogy, is that where you go?
No, just wisconsinhistory.org. You go to that site, and one of the front buttons to choose is Research Your Family History. It's also, we have a link that says Wisconsin in the Civil War. And in that link, you actually have access to an index and a book, a series of books that were put together that mention who fought out of Wisconsin units. So if you don't know what unit, that resource on our website can help you with that.
Or if you wonder if somebody, if you don't know if anybody ever did, you can probably at least take a look under the name.
Definitely. One thing I've done is I've gone through my whole tree, and like I said, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. I went through everybody on the tree I've identified, and if they were of the age, I wrote down their name, and I'm trying to hunt them down to see if they were affiliated with the Civil War or not. And through that process, through that one project, I've identified that there were some cousins that were in the same unit that I always knew our family was involved in.
Oh.
But I never put it together because it was through the woman's line. So those kinds of things can come up.
We have a Facebook comment from Bob, a less known but increasingly valuable source for genealogical information is findagrave.com. It searches 138 million grave records and may include gravestone photos, biographies, and family links.
It is wonderful. That is one of my favorite sites, findagrave.com. This is all volunteer-based. It's actually owned by Ancestry, but they keep it available for everybody to have access to. People, a lot of researchers, like to go into their own cemeteries in their hometowns and document everybody there. So Find a Grave hosts all that information so people can post that information. They can also put photos of death records and obituaries, and it becomes very interactive. It can link to the other people in the family to show you where they're buried. And so it's become just a wonderful resource.
Oh, I love that. I did not know about that. So it's findagrave.com.
Mm-hmm. There's another one called billiongraves.com that has a lot of volunteer base. usgenweb.com. Those are probably the top three, I would say, for cemetery listings. And they're not the actual records that the cemetery caretaker has. These are pictures of gravestones, and the person who has put them up on these sites are often going off of what's on the gravestone. And so another step would be then contact the cemetery and see if they have any information.
You know, it's kind of fun to go to cemeteries.
It is fun.
I have a weird sense of fun maybe, but I kind of enjoy going and looking at the stones.
Oh, yes.
And the years that people lived and what's written on the stones.
Yeah, the quotations they place on there. Sometimes they have actually sketchings of the face of the person. And so it tells its own story.
Yeah,
it really does.
We have Laura in Arpen up with a question or a comment. Hi, Laura. Thank you for calling.
Hello. When I first learned of Ancestry.com, I started to kind of toy around with it and search back. And it was kind of family legend that my great-grandfather had been in a band and died when he was apparently playing at a bar, and criminals came in and locked the band in the freezer, and he froze to death, is kind of what the family story had been.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And then when through Ancestry.com, I was able to find... it was, those steps that you take, but I actually got a clipping from the Escanaba Morning newspaper, and his story was in there, and it was from 1909. It said that his death came suddenly, but it said, and it gives the causes of death after acute gastritis complicated with acute perforitis with something and congestion of the lungs.
Oh, wow.
But it does say that he was a member of the Luxemburger Bruderbund of Escanaba.
Oh,
and so now I you know, speculated with my aunts that maybe, you know, over time, his membership in that organization got, you know how that game telephone works.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a member of this club, but he was in a band, and the story goes. But it caused quite a stir, because this really refutes what that family story was.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a very popular person finding this article.
No, sometimes we can be popular in our family doing the research, and sometimes not so much.
Oh, man. Well, have you gotten it all straightened out, Laura?
No, I think that there are people who still believe the story. And even, you know, I made copies of the paper, and I sent it around to everybody. But people are still kind of holding firm to that story.
Yeah.
So, but I would think that an event like that would certainly make the newspaper, is kind of what my argument is, that kind of criminal, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Criminal activity.
If a band got locked up in a freezer and they all froze to death, I would think there'd be quite a few stories.
I would think so. You know, I would wonder if there were other newspaper accounts that you wouldn't find online, but the film of the newspaper might tell you more. So looking on Beyond Ancestry might show you more. It sounded like you found the death record.
Well, that was Ancestry was just my first step. And what I ended up doing was making contact with the Escanaba Public Library, because they have a genealogy group there.
Awesome.
So they went back in the records, and they sent me the photocopy of the newspaper.
Oh, awesome.
And it was a front page story.
Yeah, this is a strategy I tell everybody to do. There's so many levels of different institutions to contact. There really is. And one of the institutions everyone needs to contact is their local public library in the towns where the family came from. There's just, there was a wonderful thing I found. I was looking for obituaries for people. I contacted a small public library in Texas. I knew this gentleman had died down there. And I asked him, can you send me the obituary? A lot of times it's for free or a very small cost. Well, they didn't only just send me the obituary, they sent me the autobiographical sketch.
Oh.
And so that was awesome, because it explained how the family came from New Hampshire.
We'll talk some more about that. Thank you so much for listening. We'll take a quick look at the news, then we'll be back with Lori Bessler. Stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network as we take a look at exploring your family tree with our guest, Lori Bessler. Lori is reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of our Wisconsin Historical Society, teaches genealogy workshops to help people like you and like me piece together their family histories. And Lori, thanks again for joining us.
Certainly.
We have callers online. By the way, you can join in. There's an open line yet for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's turn to Scott in La Crosse, who's been waiting a bit, though. Scott, thanks for waiting.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. I would just like to mention I'm doing a volunteer project right now with the Monroe County Local History Room in Sparta. And I've got a record from the old poor farm and asylum, and I'm putting those into a database. And it was interesting when somebody brought up findagrave.com, because as it turns out, there's a little cemetery up there. This is now what's Rolling Hills Retirement and Nursing Center in Sparta. And there's actually an old poor farm cemetery there. And so through my project, I've kind of become a bit of a curator for that. And I've added a number of people who are buried in unmarked graves, for example. But the reason I'm calling is I would like just to recommend to people, check out your local historical society, in this case, History Room, because they're just excellent resources of all your local data. In our case, we've got online databases for newspapers, census, court records, birth records, death records, and when I'm done with my project, the poor farm and asylum records, and there's that section in there for Civil War, if the person you're looking for happened to be veteran of that war. They're just excellent resources. They're free, open to the public, and it's a real good place to get started.
It is a wonderful place. And the Monroe Local History, that is a wonderful collection. They've done a tremendous job. Jared Roll with their organization has done a great job to build up their website. But also, always understand they may have more locally. So, yes, it's definitely a place to check out.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. It's a good reminder. Appreciate your call very much. I want to give John in Milwaukee a chance to join us. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
To you as well.
This one is related to the season, how we found our family records in Germany. Back years ago when I got my first computer, cousins that had been documenting in the United States had always said, we run into a brick wall when it comes to Germany. We don't know who to contact. Well, with a new computer, I got on the internet, and we knew the name of the village. So I went to German telephone book, looked to see if there were any last names there that were familiar. That didn't work, so I went to the next biggest city and found 10 names. Well, since it was November, I figured, well, what the heck? Bought a bunch of German language Christmas cards, typed up a letter, copied it, sent them over to Germany. Well, everybody that received them said, thank you, but we don't think we're related. And one of them, though, who definitely knew he wasn't, it went to his dad, and he said, well, I know we're not related. My dad says we got the same last name, so we have to help.
Oh.
He contacted the mayor of the village, and that name rung no bells with him, talked with the old folks, didn't ring any bells with them. But he knew somebody that had an old Familienbuch with all the marriages, births, deaths.
Right.
And he went to this guy and, backtracking through that, said, oh, my gosh, yeah, there were a whole bunch of them here.
Oh.
And they all disappear around the same era.
Ah.
He went to the local archives, and within a couple of months, we were buried in documents. That took us back to the early 1600s.
Wow.
Oh.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a great fishing trip story.
Wow.
Sometimes you just got to take the chance.
You do.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool idea about sending the Christmas cards.
I had not heard of that one before. That's a great story.
And even the ones that aren't relatives really like getting the card. And when I went over there with cousins and, you know, turns out some of them were cousins.
Uh-huh.
They didn't realize it.
Yeah.
But these folks joined in.
Ah.
And it was great to meet all these folks.
Oh, man. Thank you, John, for calling. I love that story.
Yeah.
You probably, Lori, you probably get lots of fun stories, too.
I have the best job. I really do. I get to hear stories all day long and help people uncover stories. It's a great job.
Oh, man. Let's go to Peggy and Leona, is it? Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Larry. Thanks, Lori, for being on. I have a question about Ancestry, Ancestors.com. My cousin does our family genealogy, and they have five girls in that family. And they did the DNA testing. And one of the cousins doesn't match any of the sisters or her father. Just matches her mother, and that's it. So we're wondering how accurate Ancestry.com is with the DNA testing.
I haven't heard that they're not accurate. So I did my DNA through it, and I just recently sent my daughter's and my husband's tests in. Ironically, this spring, we're going to be having an all-day workshop on DNA testing. It's a topic that's really needs to be explained very thoroughly by an expert, and we do have an expert who will be our speaker. Her name is Mary Eberle from, I believe it's DNA Hunters. And so she is going to do explanation of Ancestry.com, 23andMe, and then Family Tree DNA. She also talks a little bit about National Geographic's DNA programming.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh.
So it's will be held in April, and we will have information on our website soon about that for registering. All day, this woman is going to be speaking on DNA. That's how much there is to learn.
Well, that would be you're great, because my cousin's a little upset about all this.
Yes, I imagine.
She's wanting everybody to have their DNA tested.
Oh, yeah. No, there's different tests to do, and the autosomal testing is what Ancestry does. It's a very basic. There's other kinds of tests to do as well. So it's something that I don't know enough to speak on directly, but like I said, we provide programming to help understand this topic. It's a huge topic right now in Ancestry.
Yeah, that would be excellent. They just wondered, because she and I look a lot alike. We're cousins, yeah. And she doesn't look like any of the other sisters, so we're wondering if anything was going on that we shouldn't know about.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's fine.
Great. I'll look at your website for this class. That sounds great.
Yeah, I would say check at the end of January, and we'll have something posted and able to be registered right away.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. So all that genetic testing, that of course, that's something that's new too, relatively new.
It is definitely new. It's within the last 5-10 years that it's been really building up. And of course, I think you get better results when you have more people doing the testing. And so I waited a while until I felt like, maybe I'll get in there. It's just out of curiosity. But when you have a situation where the paper trail has gone cold so quickly in your research, DNA really can help a lot.
So when you get the information back, what do you get?
Well, with Ancestry, it's really basic information. I was found to be 54% English, Great Britain, which explains my passion for Downton Abbey. I told my husband I wasn't going to answer that way, but it's true. And then, 12% Irish. My mom's father, his parents both came from Norway, but through his mother's line, she's Danish as well. And so there was a little bit of surprise, but not a lot. I had done so much with the paper trail. So if you hadn't and you run into that brick wall, then it would be interesting to see what the testing would do. 23andMe, I think, has a reputation of going the deepest. And they actually, in the fall, I think it was, or in the summer, they had to backtrack as to how much testing that they could do. And now they can go back and do additional testing that has now been approved.
So what in-depth can they give?
They can tell you patterns of illnesses in your family. And likelihood. Oh. They had been shut down from doing that, and now they are able to do that again.
So likelihood of?
Of any kind of cancers or any kinds of, illnesses, things like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was in the news this summer and this fall.
I guess I missed that, or I've forgotten that it was out there. What does it cost for something like that?
23andMe is probably on the high end of cost. I don't know for specifically. It's maybe $100, over $150. I can't remember. Ancestry runs deals all the time. And so over the winter, they had a deal that was, it's usually $90, and they had a third off. So it's $60 a test. And what you do is you spit in a valve and send it in, and then they tell you it's going to be part of your Ancestry account. And so one person who has an Ancestry account could host a couple of people their DNA results. And one reason I did do the test is because that is another way of fishing for other people. There may be, they don't have their tree online, but their DNA matches yours.
Mm.
And so it can, find those distant cousins.
And then you can contact them?
Exactly. You contact them and you say, hey, I think we're connected. I think we're connected through this one line. What do you have? Always assume when you find something online that somebody has put in that they have even more in their attic or in their basement. I certainly do. I have a lot more in our basement to go through and digitize and get on one of these sites. And so always assume that there's more. Make those contacts.
Lori Besler, our guest today, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society, talking about exploring your family tree. Open lines get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. You said you had some stories that you might be able to share or not.
There's always stories. There's different people I've identified. A couple years ago, I went to Thanksgiving and I told people, and I brought my charts, and I was like, hey, see how we're related to a Mayflower person. I could not get anyone interested at that event. And so just recently, I did this again, but I put a note on Facebook and told a story. That was more of a link to that people could connect to. And so we come through William White and his wife, Susanna. Susanna was one of three women who were pregnant on that journey. And, of course, public television just had the show The Pilgrims. And so it was interesting to know that connection and then watch that show. But it was also interesting, the feedback I got from family members saying, we are? Yes, we are. So it's how you deliver that story, I think, is the key to getting people interested in what your research has shown up.
I think you're right. Elizabeth in Menominee Falls, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I am a part Ojibwa Indian because my great-grandparents were fur traders in Thunder Bay, and they took up with the Ojibwa women. Okay. And then my grandfather and my grandmother are both French Ojibwa. And I don't know how to research that background.
You know, there are some paper trails to follow. Certainly with fur trading, you're dealing with possibly some church records, some fur trading company records could help. Certainly that's a good question to send to us, and that way we can find out how does someone search this specific kind of story. We get a lot of those kinds of questions, and it does take a little bit of our time, which we have, to help you. But we want to find that information out. So emailing us that question, specifically with names, dates, and places, are good. And like I said, sometimes that turns into a phone call that I would have directly with you to talk it out and see what resources there are.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And again, of course, we have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show to the Wisconsin I think it's wisconsinhistory.org, isn't it?
Correct, yeah.
Wisconsinhistory.org. But do you have an email you want?
The email is asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
AskLibrary?
Mm-hmm.
@wisconsinhistory.org.
Correct.
Okay, we'll make sure that Cheyenne will put that up on our Facebook page so that people can have it readily at hand. Let's go to Mike in Milwaukee next. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I've looked into my genealogy and a little bit. I've also known for a long time that my last name is not my bloodline. My last name is Wiederholt, but my great-great-grandfather was adopted by a Wiederholt, and in fact, I'm a Kessler.
Ah.
So I understand that there are several programs where they are searching both the DNA and the genealogy of Kesslers.
Okay. So do you know who hosts that program?
You know, all I have to do is Google it, and I can come up with a couple of different places, but I don't know right offhand. I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
I know that there are families who have developed kind of a gathering, and so they share their DNA results. It may be that they all do this through Ancestry or through one of these other sites, Family Tree DNA, that kind of thing. It's making sure that you're in touch with, either by phone or by email, the actual people who are organizing that specific circle of the family. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I know my great-great-grandmother's name, but we have never known who the great-great-grandfather was. My great-grandfather came over to America when he was 1 year old.
Okay.
And I can trace the Wiederholt name back 10 generations.
Okay.
And they're all from Prussia.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume that she came from Prussia because they came over in the same year and they got married a year later.
Okay.
So yeah. It's an interesting story, but, you know, I'm at a dead end with the Kessler line.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting because you do need to stay true to the paper trail as well, looking for birth, marriage, death, church records. Any kind of paper that was created around this person's life could hold a part of the clues.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Jerry in Southwest Iowa up next. Hi, Jer.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a couple things to say. First of all, I've been doing genealogy research for over 40 years, and I have a couple of pioneer family certificates for my
ancestors who came to Wisconsin, one from Germany, from Leipzig, 1846, another group of families who migrated from the state of New York when the great westward migration occurred in the mid-1800s. So I have been a member of the State Historical Society and the Wisconsin Genealogy Society for many years.
Oh, wonderful.
That's a bit of background. But my comment is that in addition to Ancestry.com, there are a number of genealogy groups, New England Historical Genealogical Society, Family Search, which is the Mormon Church, are very good sources for people who originally had New England ancestors who would have migrated to Wisconsin.
Definitely.
Bell is a little funny. I grew up in Langlade County, and my uncles lived on a farm with my grandparents, who lived next to a tavern. And this tavern was one of ill repute. One of my uncles was the bartender there, and the other was a frequent visitor to the tavern. They somehow heard that the Langlade County Sheriff was going to raid the tavern looking for these gals who were selling their services. So my two uncles and a couple other guys hitched up some horses and lifted the tavern building and moved it about a mile into Shawnee County.
Oh, my gosh.
And when the sheriff showed up from Langlade County, the tavern was gone, so they couldn't raid it.
That is an interesting story.
Wow. Well, there's a story. Holy cow, they moved the moved to a new county.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Jerry, thank you. Well, you know, in a way, it's fun to hear these stories because as each of us, you know, looks into his or her own family tree, they're going to be fun stories that are going to develop, almost for sure.
Oh, definitely. It's a journey. It really is. It's a lifelong journey for me. I'll never end researching. There's another level to take it to. That's why the staff at the Historical Society, we can take you to the next step. However far you want to go, we're going to be there to kind of take you there.
And so people can send you an email, call you on the phone.
You bet. Either way.
And then you guys go to work.
Yeah, what we do is we help you find what resources there are and how to locate those. We don't take case studies, but we help you do the research.
But that's huge.
That is huge.
Because.
And it's fun.
And if you're stuck on a name.
You're stuck on a name, you call and talk to us. You know, that's where I have a phone consultation usually, or an in-person consultation with someone. Because I have so many questions to ask back. Once you say one thing, I'm coming back with five more questions. Did you think of this? What specifically did that say? Where did you find that? There's so many, it's research is what it is. And it's really explaining what that research entails is my job.
So people are going to call, you know, your phone's probably going to be ringing a little bit.
I usually get responses back, and it's very manageable. So, yeah.
And let's, be great. And give me what's your number again now?
608-264-6535. That's our reference desk.
So that's 608-264-6535?
Correct.
And then when they call, they just ask, can I talk to Lori?
Or they can ask, can I talk to Lori? That's fine.
Right.
I am fine with that.
All right. So there we have it, 608-264-6535. Or you can go on to the website, mm-hmm. which is wisconsinhistory.org.
Right. Our email and our phone number is all over that site.
Lori, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lori Bessler, who does a wonderful job, reference librarian with our Wisconsin Historical Society. She also teaches genealogy workshops, and you can go to that website to find out, you know, about upcoming workshops and so forth that are available for you. Taking a look ahead tomorrow, Now we have snow on the ground in most parts of the state. We can talk about snowshoeing. So we'll do that tomorrow. And then we'll take a look at what's going on with Our Wisconsin magazine. Thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.